And all the church said, amen.
Amen.
It's good to see you in the house of God one more time.
Amen.
To sing praises to his high and holy name.
Amen.
Our coming together tonight is certainly indicative of the fact that we are interested in a revival.
Amen.
And I believe we have had a revival.
Amen.
Starting Sunday morning.
Yes.
And having these singers to sing God's praises. I want to thank you so very, very much with the ministers that put on this program and this revival. The elders, would you stand? I'd just like to give recognition to all of you. I want to thank you for your hospitality. I want to thank you for your love gift. With the kind of gift you gave me yesterday evening, I might come back again. And I want to thank the supporting congregations. Would you stand? All of the elders in this area, all of the deacons and leaders of other congregations, would you stand? We want to thank you for your support. Brother Pitts and other leaders of the church, I want to thank you. And I want to thank the senior members of this area that have been here every night. Some of you, I was preaching to you when I was younger and I had more hair. The members have taken my hair over the years, and some of them will take your scalp. However, I want to thank them for coming, Brother Foster and others who have been laboring in the Morrow Vineyard of the Lord for a number of years. The senior members, some of you have been here every night. Would you raise your hand, all of the seniors that have been here every night? Amen. Praise God for that. If you couldn't raise your hand, you need to get some of my oil over there and make sure you lubricate yourself. I want to thank you for taking time to support the gospel and this revival meeting. I want to thank the Kirkendall brothers for inviting me here. Our relationship goes back with PF and also Naomi, who were great leaders in this area for a number of years. And I appreciate their work of faith and their labor of love. And Brother Leggett, that has been here for a good while, and we go back many years. He heard me before he became a member of the Church of Christ on KDAY, 1580 on your dial, when we came from Los Angeles all the way to San Diego, 50,000 kilowatts. And also the CDs, he listened to me and he obeyed the gospel. And I'm glad to see he and his wife still in the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel of Christ. I want to thank my daughter Valerie personally for taking off from her school. She's a school teacher to be with me each night. And I just appreciate my children so much for supporting me. As I said on Sunday, I travel with my children so that I can keep these wild sisters off of me. But anyway, we have a relationship with some great saints around the country, and I want you to pray for me as I get ready and plan for our meetings coming up. I'm booking meetings now in 2013 and 14, and we will be leaving. My daughter and my sister will be going with me to Baltimore, Maryland in a few days to go to the East Coast to build the kingdom of God. I'm interested in the Church of Christ growing everywhere, for I see that we are declining as congregations of churches of Christ, and there is a reason for that, and I'm going to give some tonight. And I'm going to take my time because this is the last night, and I know where the exit is. I'm going to say some things tonight to try to stir you up so that the churches in San Diego can work together. Now, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. We don't have the PowerPoint presentation tonight because I have some points that I couldn't put on the PowerPoint. But I want to see how many Bibles we have on this left side. All right. Very good. Yes, yes. The left side has gotten right. And we thank God for that. Let me see the right side. Oh, the right side is all right except 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God bless you. Stand on your feet just one more time. Let's sing my song. I'm so glad who lifted me, Obama. No, Jesus. Jesus, he lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, give me a little water, little water. Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Well, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was burdened, yeah, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was burdened, yeah, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was burdened, yes, Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory. Well, I was in trouble. Oh, when I was in trouble, yeah, Jesus. Oh, when I was in trouble, yes, Jesus. Oh, when I was in trouble, oh, Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Well, Jesus. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Well, and now I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus lifted me. On my way to heaven because Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory. Well, Jesus lifted me. If God has done something for your life, before you sit down, lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We came on this night to say thank you. Thank you. You blessed us. You brought us from a mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus. You put food on our table. Thank you. You cool our fever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody but you. Nobody but you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then you who don't know him, what a friend. What a friend. Having given all of our sins and griefs to bear, all our sins and, oh Lord, griefs to bear. And then what a privilege, what a privilege. Is to carry not some things, but everything. Everything to God in prayer. So we came on this night to say much obliged. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And all the church said, amen. Amen. It seems like y'all are learning how to say amen down here. And I have a sermon. Somebody need to say amen. Acts 5 and verse number 42. The lesson tonight is entitled Preaching the Gospel in every house. Acts 5 and 42. Well, first of all, verse 41 says, are you there? And they departed from what? The presence of the council. What were they doing? They just had a whipping. But they were rejoicing that they were what? Counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And verse 42 says, and daily. Where were they? Where were they? And in every house, what did they do? They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Preaching the gospel in every house. God knows that we need, here in San Diego, Los Angeles, and around the world, for us to restore the spirit of the early saints in the Church of Christ. We have restored various areas of the restoration movement. But the early church had a daily program. And in our text, the writer declares that they preached the gospel in every house. Where I preach, that is our posture, to preach the gospel to every house. We have been majoring in that for the last 40-odd years by radio and television. And now we are getting ready to build a website for North America, South America, Asia, Europe, and the seven continents we want to cover. The first part of our website will deal with our ministries where I serve. And I want to say something about that before I go into the message. You must have some ministries. Every congregation should have some ministries. And every member of the church should know the three things that the Lord placed in his divine program. Now, we do not get a new program every year because the commander-in-chief, the head of the church, has already given us the work of the church and the plan of the church. And the first thing on the agenda that we must do every year is to preach the gospel. And then second, we are to help those who are in need. And then third, we are to edify, or to build up the saints of God. And if there was a time that we need edification, that time is now. And we need to help those who stand in need. But I want to say this before I get into the lesson, that when you plan your programs as a local congregation, you must project not only 1 year, but 4 years, 5 years, and we have a program for 10 years. And you must prepare with good leadership. For in order to carry out the mandate of our Lord, there must be good leadership. And they must be qualified men and qualified women carrying out the mandates of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And brothers, let me tell you this also, that when you are planning, include your sisters. Because the sisters know some things that you don't know. You don't know everything. The elders don't know everything. Oh, yes. We are under the leadership of the eldership, but you ought to be smart enough to get some smart people around you. And when we are planning our program, we include our administrators, we include our people who have talents and abilities. And if the sisters have to qualify with their husbands to be a deacon and elder's wife, they ought to be qualified enough to say something about the work of the church and the work of the Lord. Not only that, but I want to emphasize, when you go out in this 21st century, you just can't go out with the naked gospel. You must have some ministries. When you are knocking on doors, they think you are a Jehovah's Witness. But when you go there, you ought to have some ministry. And in order to matriculate in this day and time, the church must address itself to the social needs of our community. As I said the other night, I wonder if this congregation and other congregations would move out of their locale. Would the community complain because you are leaving and you had some services? Or they might say, well, they didn't do anything while they were here. Let them go. But on the other hand, if you have ministries that you are addressing in the community, then you will be missed. In order to do this, I don't have time to give you information on that. But 30 years ago, along with our cooperation, we have what is called Concern Citizens Community Involvement, a 501c3 organization that is a parent organization to the Church of Christ where I preach. And therefore, we are interested in the health, we are interested in the welfare, we are interested in the housing, we are interested in education, and along with our congregation, we have some ministries that address these issues. You see, if we have built a building that costs over $300,000 or $500,000 and we're just using it twice a week, that's a liability rather than an asset. No organization could build a building and have classrooms and all of that kind of business and just open up one time. Some of our brethren are just having service just one time on Sunday morning. But I want to tell you that you ought to have the building open 7 days a week. Can I get an amen? And when you knock on doors, you must have other ministries such as a health fair and a job fair and a tutoring program, an aftercare program, a food distribution program. If you want to get folk in here to hear the gospel, you got to first feed them. If they are hungry, they have to be fed. Jesus fed folk. And after he fed them, then he taught them. Can't we learn something from that? There are congregations in Los Angeles. Along with Southside, we have a food program every day and every week, because people are losing their jobs, and we need to address those families that stand in need. Just a few months ago, I, along with Bishop Henry and the other members of the staff, we dedicated a Kaiser Medical Center just across the street from where our building is. And so we are a part of their programs dealing with preventive medicine. We're going to have classes there. Some of us are too fat. I mean, some of us are too heavy. And some of us have diabetes. And some of us have heart conditions. And we have all kinds of problems. And God is interested in your health. John said, I would that you be what? Prosper and in good health. We got a lot of members of the church that have high blood pressure. And they have other problems, and we need to address that. And let me say this before I get to the points that I have in consideration. You need to make yourself known to the councilmen and the supervisors and Congress and the senators and even the president. There are some programs that you need to get because you are a citizen. And as a citizen, you have a right to some of those programs. When I had my anniversary a few days ago, I had those individuals that represent our government. And when you look at the wall of Southside in our library, we have the congressmen, we have the supervisors that have commended us for our work in the community. I'm saying to San Diego, if you want to reach the people from house to house, you got to have some programs other than just the naked gospel. But the gospel is the primary thing. We got a mandate from the commander-in-chief. For I still hear the words of Jesus in Matthew 28:19. He said, go into what? All the world. And he says, and teach all nations. And the whole world is not National City. The whole world is not San Diego. Go into all the world. And he said, teach all nations. And he says, baptizing them in the name of the what? And of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he said in Luke 24:46, thus it is written, thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I believe that God wants us to reach the whole world. When he gave that mandate to 12 men, in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he told those 12 men, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he said, you shall be witnesses first in Jerusalem. So I say in your plan and in your program, you start with National City. You start with San Diego, but there is more to this great commission than your environment. Well, he said, start in Jerusalem. and then go to Judea, and then Samaria, and then where? The utmost parts of the earth. 12 men, he told them that. And then when we read 30 years later, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul could say to the members of the church there, we have preached the gospel to every creature under heaven. Now, if they could do that in 30 years without television, without emails, without a website, without an internet, in 30 years with all of the technology that we have today, we can do it also. But let's learn, how did they preach the gospel to every house? Let's go to Acts chapter 2 tonight. As I said, I'm going to take my time. But in Acts 2 and 42, they preached the gospel on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and people were added to the Lord's church. And the Bible tells us in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. If we're going to preach the gospel to every house, we're going to have to be like the apostles and the early Christians to stay steadfast, unmovable in the doctrine of Christ. There are some strange doctrines in the world today, and I got news for you. There are some strange doctrines in the church of Christ. And the reason why we are not preaching the gospel to the whole world is because there are some that don't believe in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is the doctrine of the apostles. The apostles spoke the doctrine of Jesus. Not only that, but in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 3, Paul said, charge them to teach no other doctrine. We have a lot of doctrine even in the church of Christ. No wonder we are not growing. It's because we are not staying with the doctrine of Christ. Not only that, but they had some fellowship. And they had some breaking of bread. And they had some prayers. If you're going from house to house, you're going to have some fellowship. You got to work together. And you got to do some praying. And then verse 44 says, all that believe, everyone that believe. Somebody said, we can't get together at 32nd and K. We can't get together at Raven. We can't get together at 61st and Division. But these Christians said, all, that is the Luke, the writer, says, all them that believe, they were together. And what we need to do is to be together. And we need to operate in an area like we are the body of Christ. There's no such thing as a Latina congregation, a white congregation, or a black congregation. We're just the church of Christ. And we must not have any partiality, any predilection or prejudice in our hearts in knocking on doors. When you look at this community all around you, you see Latina people. What kind of ministry do you have for them? And I want to tell you, in order to do that, you got to be united. How sweet and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And verse 45 says, to all those that had needs, they sold their possessions and they helped one another. And then verse 46 says, daily, underscore that word, daily, with one accord in the temple, publicly, and from house to house, privately. In order for us to get the gospel over to the world, we have to have a public ministry, and we have to have a private ministry. And we got to do it, not every now and then, but every day. Well, we had a meeting last year or 2 years ago, but our ministry is not based upon once a year, quarterly, but every day. And when you have a teaching ministry and a preaching ministry, daily, this is what happens. Daily, Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having what? Favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church during the revival meeting. No, he added to the church daily. If you're going to have daily teaching, you're going to have some daily baptism. Where I preach, we have daily classes. Every day we have classes for the members of the church from 10 to 11. We have classes for those who are seeking the Lord. And we take the list of our people that have come on Sunday morning, and we work that list every day. And so we are having baptisms every day. We are trying to break our record that we made in the year of 1987, where we had 300 plus baptisms. We have over 100 every year. But I'm saying to you here in San Diego, if you're going to grow, you're going to have a daily ministry. And not only that, but before they had that addition to the church, the Bible said they praise God. And I want to tell you, if you're going to bring people from the outside inside here, you can't be dead. You have to become lively stone. Nobody want to go to a dead church that's already dead, where the song leader is dead, where the man praying, he's dead, the preacher is dead, and when it's dead, it needs to be buried. But the Bible says, sing with the spirit, sing with the understanding also, pray with the spirit, and pray with the understanding. And I like for a preacher, when he's preaching, not to read his message and you're going to sleep on it, but preach. Preach, man. Preach it. What we need is more preaching. Preach the word. Preach it in season. Preach it out of season. Preach it when they like it. Preach it when they don't like it. Preach it when they say amen. And preach it when they sit up and look like ghoul dogs. Oh, preach the word. In order for us to get the church on fire, it has to start in the pulpit. And if the preacher doesn't preach, you ought to let him go. Oh, if the elders don't elder, you ought to sit him down. If the deacon doesn't deacon, you need to deacon. Am I right? Because the church must grow. Am I right about it? Oh, am I holding y'all too long? But not only that, but the Bible said they had favor with all the people. Well, what does that mean? It means that they had influence in the community. What influence does the local congregation have in the community? But I want you to know verse number 13 of Acts 4. The Bible said they spoke, that is the preacher, with boldness. We don't need preachers that get up and don't know what they're talking about. You ought to get your message. You ought to pray over what you're preaching. The Bible said they spoke boldly. Don't you back up from denominational preachers. Don't you back up from those hell raisers in the church. You got to preach with boldness. And then the people observed that they were uneducated in the teachings of the rabbi. They were unlearned. But they also took notice that these men that spoke with boldness, that they have been with Jesus. You ought to preach like you know Jesus. You ought to preach like you had a little talk with Jesus. You told him all about your trouble. You ought to preach so that men will come crying, oh, what must I do to be saved? Preach it so that people that are coming to your congregation are having trials and tribulation, and they're not always being beaten up with the word, but you edify. You build up those members that are weak in the faith. And Paul said, I commend you to God and to the words of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. Somebody need to preach until the member said, I want to go to the house of the Lord and hear a word from the Lord. And not only that, but these preachers in verse number 18, they were threatened. And they were told not to speak no more in the name of Jesus. I wonder, do we have to threaten our preachers before they preach like they know Jesus? But when they were threatened, verse number 20 says, they said, we can't help ourselves. We cannot help but speak those things that we have seen and heard. Oh, when you tell backers not to work on a certain thing, that makes me work more. I was preaching in Portland, Oregon, where they have the dog fights over there. And the brethren said, now backers, don't you touch dog fighting here, because many of our members go over there and they win some good money and they put it in the collection plate. Don't you bother that. But when you tell me not to bother something, that's what I bother. I preached that morning and I talked about gambling and I talked about lying and stealing, and I told them God's plan was for man to work. And he said, he that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor, not gamble, but labor. Some of y'all are looking funny. You got a lottery ticket in your pocket now. Labor that he may work with his hands, that which is good. The early preachers were bold. And verse 31, the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke with boldness with the word of God. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got to speak boldly the word of God. And the Bible said those that believed were of one heart and one soul. What you need to do in your local congregation is to have one heart. We're going to do it together. Well, what makes you have one heart? Good leadership. And if you have good leadership, you ought to have good fellowship. For Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. When you have good leaders, stand behind them. When Moses was having a hard time with the Midianites or with the Israelites on one occasion, and they were fighting an enemy, and as long as his hand was up, they had the victory. And he got weary. He got tired. So he got some help. Men on both sides held up his hand. What are you saying, backers? Your preacher needs somebody to hold his hand. The elders need somebody to hold their hand. When you got good leadership and good fellowship, you got one mind and one heart. And Paul said, let there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There's some things in judgment that we ought to leave up to the leadership. We got too many fast women. We got some women in the church that run their husbands at home, and they want to run the church. We got some men that are rebellious. But let me tell you, when you have a leadership, the Bible said, obey them that have the rule over you, for they are watching for your soul. And the Bible said, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Get one mind under a good leadership. I've carried this congregation for 55 years with great men around me. Men that love the Lord. And men that we can count on. And the Bible says in Acts 5:22, this is another reason why they were getting the gospel over. They said, we command you not to speak and teach in the name of Jesus. But this is what the enemies said to them. We told you not to preach no longer in the name of Jesus. But look ahead. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Can you say that at San Diego? That we have filled. Can you say that at National City? We have filled. I can say it in Los Angeles because I was on 34 different radio and television stations, and we have filled Los Angeles with the doctrine. And let me tell you, when they tell you you can't do it, let me tell you, we can do it. Because Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who enabled me. But somebody said, we are having problems over here. Well, in Acts 6, they had some problems. And what you need to do is to get good leadership to solve your problems. You see, they had the problem with the daily administration of food. And so the preachers said, we cannot stop preaching the word of God. We can't leave. And some churches, when they're having problems, they put off their missionary work. They put off carrying out the mandate of the Lord. And that's what the devil wants you to do. Am I right about it? He wants you to put on hold the commandments of law of the Lord, because there's trouble in the church. Well, what you have to do is to take care of the trouble. And as Joshua told the children of Israel when Achan gave some problems to the church, he said, you have trouble, Israel, and we're going to trouble you. Am I right about it? What we like in the church of Christ is discipline. You're going to have to learn to discipline some member. If you don't understand that, you got to give some members a good whipping. You got to give some members a mandate. If you don't straighten up and fly right, we're going to withdraw from you. Am I right about it? Because we got to carry on the mandate of the Lord. But if you can solve problems other ways, the Bible said what they did, they got 7 men. And he said to the congregation, pick out 7 men. Now listen, when the church was growing in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible said that number increased to 5,000 men. Somebody said, you're getting too large where you are back. No, we're not as large as this first church. They had 5,000 men. Sisters, wouldn't you like to be in a church where you got 5,000 men? You might find one good man out of 5,000. Whoa! 5,000 men. Didn't count the women and children. 5,000 men. But when they decided to take care of this problem, they didn't call on all of the brethren. Some churches are ruined because they say, let's call all the brethren together. Well, some of these brothers are not spiritually minded. Some of these brothers chase women. Some of these brethren drank old hoops. Some of them drank, cognac. And you want those brothers to lead you? Well, you got to first sober them up before they start leading. So out of 5,000 men, they got 7 men. And they said, we want some men with an honest report. A man that is full of the Holy Ghost. Not full of beer and wine, but full of the Holy Ghost. And we want some men that have some wisdom. You have no business having leaders that don't have any wisdom. Because they have to make decisions. Yes, with wisdom. And the sixth chapter, verse 7, when they took care of the problem, out of that problem, the Lord did not add to the church. But verse 7 says, the disciples multiply in Jerusalem greatly. This church, the congregation where you are, if you have good leadership and a plan, it can grow and multiply greatly. And the Bible said, priests, some of the priests obeyed the gospel and they were converted to the faith. Go after some preachers. Go after some leaders in these man-made churches. When you preach boldly, they'll come out. Rebecca, have you done that? Yes, on the radio, we converted one of the bishops, Bishop James Boone of the Church of God in Christ. He's been dancing over there for a number of years. And I said to him when he came down one afternoon, Brother McGibbery, one of our elders, he came down and he said, I want to be a member of the Church of Christ. And I told Brother McGibbery, go and teach him. He said, you don't have to teach me. I've been listening to you for the last 2 years on the radio. And he had his tablet. He had every sermon that I preached for the last 2 years. And I told Brother McGibbery, you don't have to teach him. Take him to the water and wash all of his sins away. Go after these preachers. Some of them will be honest. We had a bishop from the Four Square Church came and challenged us on a Wednesday night. And the Church of Christ preacher is worse than the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the Church of Christ preacher and he'll flee at you. Oh, don't you challenge a gospel preacher, because we know the book. And this Four Square bishop challenged us that night, but we met his challenge. And after the meeting, this Four Square bishop of the Four Square Church, we got him squared away in the Church of Christ. Yeah! Go after the priests. Go after the leaders of the church. But the members got too comfortable in Jerusalem. They were just fellowshipping. And so in the eighth chapter, the Bible said great persecution came upon the church. And they were scattered abroad throughout Judea and Samaria. He had already told them that. Start at Jerusalem, then go to Judea, and then go to Samaria, and then the utmost parts of the earth. What did the Lord have to do here in San Diego before you get started in preaching the gospel to the whole world? Some of our preachers are preaching now, just preach Christ. Don't preach the church. We don't want folks just to be members of the church. We want them to love Christ. Yes, preach Jesus and the church. The early church in the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, verse 12, said, when they believed Philip preaching concerning the kingdom of God, that's the church, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So we got to preach Christ and his church. Do y'all have time for me to tell you why we're not preaching the gospel in every house? Let me give you the outline. I won't be long. But number one, the reason why some of us are not preaching the gospel in every house is because we are wondering, when we do it together, who's going to get the credit? Will East Side, West Side, 32nd, and Kansas City, 8th, and Hemlock, we need to stop worrying who will get the credit and just preach the gospel. For in Philippians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, some of my brethren are preaching the gospel. They don't have the heart. They are not sincere. Some are preaching it with pretense. And some were jealous of Paul. And they wanted to add to his bonds. They was glad he was in prison. And he said, some are preaching this way and that way. But he said, I'm just rejoicing that the gospel is preached. Who's going to get the credit?
God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Unto him be given glory in the church. And when every congregation is growing, the body of Christ in this area is growing. Am I right about it? Why are we not getting the gospel over to the whole world and in every city? It's because we are arguing over doctrines and methods. There is a difference between doctrine and methods and traditions. Yes, we have some traditions in all of our congregation, and we don't have to be the same with our traditions in our local congregation. When you come where I preach, we change our procedure in our worship almost every month. And we have seven brothers to read the scriptures, seven brothers to do the prayers. We have organization with our song leaders. We plan our songs to meet the occasion and also for the message that's to be brought. We try to do things decent and in order. The Lord told us what to do, how to do it. It's left up to the eldership and the leadership of that congregation. We don't have to be the same when it comes down to methodology. There is one thing we must keep, the doctrine. The doctrine doesn't change. The word doesn't change. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. We have some traditions in the church that's isolating us from other congregations. I don't like what they're doing over there. Well, and sometimes that's a sin. Well, where's the book? Where's the chapter? Where is the verse? We had some people to come to our congregation on one occasion and said, we don't do it like that in Mississippi. And I said, praise God, you're in California now. Yes. We had someone couples a few weeks ago who said, Brother Backer, we believe you got to have one cup. What do you believe about that? I said, I believe that too. One cup for you, one cup for you, one cup for you, and one. Get out of here with that kind of tradition. And they are now faithful members of the church, but they were hung up on that. But traditions is killing many congregations from not working together. Mark 7 and 8, the Bible said that there were people laying aside the commandments of God that they might hold to their tradition, such as the washing of pots and the cups and etc. Some of us are majoring in minor things, and minor things we are majoring in. We ought to major in majors and minor in minors and try to keep the church working together. And then, do y'all have time? This is my last night. We are not getting the gospel over to the world. It's because we got too many busybodies in the church finding fault with everything. They have criticized a lot of members of the church, new members that have come in, and they sat on the same row. They heard you talking about the preacher. They heard you talking about Sister So-and-so. Look at that hat that she has on. Look like I wouldn't wear that to a dog fight. And you're sitting up there in the house of the Lord. And there are those that are always finding fault with the leadership and with the preacher. But let me tell you, in Matthew 7 and 3, Jesus said, why are you beholding the mote that's in your brother's eye and don't consider the beam that is in your own eye? Why can you see that little splinter in somebody else's eye and you got a 2x4 in your own eye? Oh, we need to stop finding fault. And then we got a lot of busybodies in the church. They're so interested in texting the mess that's going on at 38th and Hemlock, texting the mess that's going on at Raven, texting one that at El Cajon. We got a lot of members that are nosy. They are busy not in knocking on doors, not in teaching Bible class, but they are busybody in other folk business. We got some folk that want to be the FBI and the CIA in the church. But Peter said in 1 Peter 4:15, don't you suffer as a busybody in other folk business. There are some things that's not your business. Who's going with who? And I saw them going out the other night. It must be something going on. I saw them in the church parking lot, and I saw the way she got in the car. She pulled her dress up, and I know something. Oh, you're just lying. The brother's just carrying her home after seven. You are a busybody. Am I right about it? And then some of us are robbing God in our offering. We got a lot of robbers in the church of Christ. All the robbers are not downtown locked up in the National City Jail. Some of them come every Sunday and they rob God. And Micah 3 and 6, Malachi said, will a man rob God? The answer is yes. We have robbed God. We hold back on our money. But he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, and that's every one of you, you got to teach the congregation when they go on vacation, they still have a responsibility to that local congregation. We have members that make a purpose, and I said before and I say again, when you plan your work, you got to have finance involved. And every member should know what your plan is and how much money each member should give. And also, when they give it, you ought to give a report. You ought to let them know how they're getting along. The church where I serve, we have a CPA that order our books, because when we get ready to buy more property and we're getting ready to build a $20 million project, when we go to the business world, we have to show them our books over a 3-year period of time. We have to give a report as to how much we take care of our ministries and how we take care of our various programs of the Lord's church. And when they go over that, they can make a decision, because they know that the members are behind the budget of the church. And so every one of us must purpose in our heart when we're going to give to the cause of Christ. You're not going to lose, because Luke 6 and 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Why are we not preaching the gospel in every house? It's because we just don't have enough love toward one another. Preachers need to love one another. Elders need to love one another. Members need to love one another. 1 John 3:14, John said, I know that you have passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. When you love one another, John said, when you see that brother or sister in need, you don't shut up your mind or your compassion against them, but you do something to help them. Let us not love in tongue, but let us love indeed. And he that hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life dwelling in him. I love Southside. I plan to die there because I know they love me. When I leave home, they hate to see me go. When I return, they are hugging and kissing me. Some may be a Judas kiss, but I like it anyhow. When I get home, the men even kiss me. And we have some sisters that still dip some snuff in it. Gets a little juicy, but I like it anyhow. They are showing love towards me. And doing my anniversary, they just lined up bringing gifts unto me. Well, we got to love our preacher. And we got to love our elders, love the members of the church. In John 13 and 35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are truly my disciples, if you love one another. as I close. Well, what must we preach in every house? Well, we got to preach the love of God. Am I right about it? When you go out, you got to show some love. People can tell whether or not you have the love of God in your heart. Romans 5:8, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. When you go out, you got to tell him, if you are a sinner, God loves you. You may be a homosexual, but God loves you. You may be a thief, but God loves you. You may be drinking wine, but God loves you. And he wants you to change your wicked ways. When we go out and knock on door, we got to tell them that the church of Christ is right and cannot be wrong, because all those who are saved, they are added to the Lord's church. And God has a house. Yes, he does. It's the church of God. It's the church of Christ. Isaiah said it shall come to pass in the last days that the mounting of the Lord's house will be established in the top of the mountain, exalted above the hill, then all nations shall flow on it. Well, what is God's house? 1 Timothy 3:15, if I tarry long, you ought to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. I'm glad when I go out and get folk out of their house and bring them into God's house. I can tell them, if they hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, God has another house for you. One day, you're going to have to shed this old house you live in, because 2 Corinthians 5:1, if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hand. I got to tell the sinner, when you get in this house and pull off this house, there is another house. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself. And somebody says, show us to the Father's house. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. Nobody can go to my Father except he come by me. And I want to tell you, come and go with me, because there's plenty, whoo, good room in my Father's house. Plenty good room. Come on and go with me to my Father's house. Stand on your feet.